609-860. If you'd like to join us, you certainly can. It's 6 minutes after the hour of 10 o'clock. We're going to be here till 12 noon, and so you're welcome to call in at any time. And most all the questions we have fielded once or twice or 10 times in our life, but it's okay. Mm-hmm. Especially if you have a car problem with respect to somebody said this or this is what I was told, we can discuss that. And we'll either fall in line for support or we won't. Mm-hmm. It'll be one way or the other. And we do get lots of emails. I send some of the emails to you, and then I get a lot of them. And then, of course, the kids get a lot of them. Andy and Alan get a lot of them as well. Mm-hmm. And we answer every single one of those.
Yes.
And so it's really a matter of how much information are you giving us. And if you include your phone number, usually we call on a blocked line because we all have cell phones. And so we do this at home a lot.
Yes.
And so
you do.
I think
if you get a call at 7 a.m., it's probably Mark because he doesn't pay attention to what time it is.
You're right. You're right. So if it's a car question, and I get a lot of, I went to a shop, and let's be fair, it can be an independent repair shop, it can be a chain store, it can be a dealership. I don't know what else there is out there, but there's a lot of movement right now, and there's a lot of folks that are seeing and hearing things that they've never heard before from a shop or their shop, or perhaps they have a whole new management team at the shop because it was one of the ones that were sold.
Yeah, that's happened a lot. A lot of these big corporations are coming in and buying up the small people. And
yeah, but I don't know about small, if that's a good idea. Small, ADS...
Okay.
Has sold. Greg sold.
And or independence, I guess, is more the correct term.
Okay, the bigger independence.
Mm-hmm.
So we have three tire store chains that each one of them had two or three different facilities. All three of those have sold,
mm-hmm.
and they have a new management team. And it's clear to those of us in that arena that the pricing is changing, the staff is changing, the parameters are changing. And one of the ways I see that, and one of the ways that it hits me, is that there's lots of technicians looking for jobs right now because they want out of that situation, and predominantly because they've changed the pricing structure.
Yes.
So the technicians are the mules for us. The technicians are the ones that make us money. They're supposed to identify the problem, diagnose it correctly, repair it, and then go verify that the repair fixed the problem. And obviously, they're the really good ones. Give me parameters as low as annually and as high as annually.
The good ones?
Yeah.
Oh, I'd say between, 40 and 100 and some.
And I was going to say 50 to 100.
Mm-hmm.
And those guys are going to be worth their weight in gold. And it's not because they're going to make us money that we wouldn't otherwise make. It's because they're very efficient. And because they're good at what they do, and when they diagnose it, 99 times out of 100, it's the right diagnosis, or 90 times out of 100,
mm-hmm.
it's right diagnosis. And they do the job, and then they go verify that their concern is gone, and then we're done.
They're not doing a lot of comebacks.
Yeah, they're
for
not
free.
Yeah, and most all comebacks are free.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not that we don't have comebacks.
Right.
I mean, we have done things that have just been unbelievable, that we forgot to tighten up the lug nuts. The one time we forgot to put oil in a car after we did the oil change.
Few and far between, thankfully.
Yeah. And I laugh about that one because we now know that a car will go about a mile, mile and a half with no oil in it. And mm-hmm. that lady made it that mile, mile and a half. The discussion was, gosh, we wish she would have seen the red light on the dash, but we can't expect her to do that for us. I wish we would have driven the car and seen the red light on the dash ourselves. Instead of taking it out of the bay and parking it in the get-ready line and then handing the customer the keys.
Mm-hmm.
So she's not supposed to do our jobs. We're supposed to do our job. And I think we put a motor in that car.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. So we've had tires fall off because we've done lug nuts, but so has everybody else. These are constant problems. And about once every 5 years, we fix the wrong car. So we have two Chevrolet pickups in, and we get them screwed up.
I haven't heard that one yet, but okay.
And so we do the oil change on one that came in for a check engine light, and the other guy that had an oil or wanted an oil change, we told him we couldn't find anything on the check engine light. So that happens. It happens in the large volume places because of just the sheer amount of vehicles that we work on.
Yeah.
And it's not uncommon for us to have vehicles that are same like make and model in the shop, and there may be only a color difference or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
So, well, what's going on right now, though, too, is there's a whole lot of selling going on because the newer model cars are calling for major services somewhere north of 75,000 miles. So the first 75,000 miles is really oil changes and tire rotations. We don't really get into the big ticket items until 100,000 or thereabouts. Big ticket items are spark plugs and belts and hoses, transmission fluid, differential fluid, power steering fluid, brake fluid. Those are the big dogs right there. Those are going to cost you some money. But keep in mind, if we're doing it between 75 and 100,000, you've gone around the world three times at 75,000 miles. It's not like you've just been going back and forth. We also have people in the Ahwatukee area that we perform service for that don't even drive 2,000 or 3,000 or 4,000 miles a year.
Mm-hmm.
And so then you have to kind of divide that up and kind of help them at the risk and reward kind of thing.
Sure.
We wouldn't go in there and do $3,000 worth of belts and hoses and fluids if all they do is stray 3 miles, 5 miles, 10 miles from home, and they have a towing policy.
Yeah, exactly.
there doesn't really make a lot of sense to do that. And then if the car's 10 years old, but it only has 50,000 miles on it, then what do you do?
Yeah. I mean, just the heat in Arizona, I think, makes it where you almost have to do the belts and the hoses and that type of thing because they can wear out because of that as well.
And I think you're right. And I think what happens is usually the first belt will go or the first hose will go, and then let's do them all now while we're here and we're going to flush the cooling system and we're going to put you back together, but let's do them all right now.
Mm-hmm.
And then most shops will put the old hoses and belts that are still good in the trunk of your car over by the spare tire. So if you're in Safford, Arizona on a Sunday morning and you need a belt and all the auto bars are closed, you might have one in your trunk. So that happens. And I learned that from a lot of the old guys.
Sure. Yeah. We did that a lot.
So it's not a matter of we're using you as our trash can.
Mm-hmm.
We're putting your and that's come up every once in a while.
Right.
Why did you put these old parts into my car? Well, it's not an oil filter, so we don't need to worry about a mess that we made. But those are your old hoses and belts, and if you don't want them, we'll send a driver over to take them and throw them away for you. But usually, we put them in there for your benefit.
And you can see what we replaced or whatever.
Yeah, so. And we know they fit.
Right.
So if you're stuck in Safford, Arizona on a Sunday morning and there's some cowboy guy there that has a screwdriver and he wants to help you, he can help you because you have the hose.
Mm-hmm.
You have the old hose.
Right.
And it makes a big difference. 602-508-0960, 602-508-0960. Right now, most of my stuff is I took my car in and they gave me a laundry list of things that I need to have done. And there's so much of it that the owner's manual is really the Bible.
Sure.
And that's really where you should go for those kinds of questions, is what does the owner's manual of your car say? It's written by the people who designed and built your car. It's going to be a little different between Chevy and Ford and Dodge and Toyota and Honda and Kia and Lexus. They're all going to be a little bit different, but there are some parameters that typically are going to hold true. The first 100,000 miles, you better have done all your fluids and all your belts and your hoses. That's kind of the general. But then there's some of them that call for belts and hoses at 60, and some cars call for them at 100. And so then you're going to have to make up your mind. I think you'll agree, and I think you and the kids, you and Andy and Alan, have the same skill levels I do. We can look at the hose, we can touch the hose, and we can tell you if it's on its way out, if it's... it's going to last day after tomorrow, till day after tomorrow, or something like that.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And belts too. You can just kind of look at them, and the reason why is because our eyes have seen lots of cars come in on a tow truck that had bad belts, and we know what they look like.
Sure.
And we know what they look like when they break, so it's easy just to back that up 1,000 miles or 5,000 miles or 4 months or whatever, and take a look at it and say, yeah, this is NFL, not for long. How'd you like how I
squeezed
that in?
Are you ready for football or what?
No, I got that from some old timer. He said NFL all the time.
Yeah, and I remember that.
I thought it was football too, and no, it's not for long.
Not for long.
And tires. There's a lot of talk about tires and tire expiration and stuff like that. Everybody that knows anything about tires and tire construction and sells tires understands that we're not going to touch a tire at 10 years. We're not going to touch a tire at 10 years.
Uh-huh.
So no matter what happens, we are simply not going to touch your tire. We're not going to balance it. We're not going to patch it. We're not going to rotate it. We're not going to do anything because statistically that tire should be off the road. Now we've got people who are using 5 years.
Yep.
And now all of a sudden we don't have that statistical data, but it's real convenient.
Mm-hmm.
Now there's some tire stores that are chain stores that are going to say to you, I'm not going to touch your 5 year old tire.
Okay.
Other stores are going to say, no, I'm going to bring it to your attention that your tire is 5 years old, but I will still patch it, or I'll still rotate it, or I'll still do what I need to do.
Yeah.
But folks, beware of the people who force you into the corner of the sales office and leave you with the decision that you have to do this, because you don't have to do that. So even if you have 10-year-old tires, and I would say this to my mother if she were alive, I would say, Mom, just drive out of there or call me. Or just have them write it down, give you an estimate.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I tell the story real quick about tires, and we're going to take a break, and when we come back, I'm going to tell you about this person, a friend of mine, who kind of, I said, I wonder what they'd say if you did this, and he went out and did all that.
Okay.
At a tire store. So when we come back, and the phone number again is 602-508-0960. Well, thank you for holding with it for us. We're struggling here because Mark is an idiot today and is having a tough time with
all these buttons in front of you. Huh?
Yeah, with my buttons and all my slides and everything.
Yeah,
it's this looks like a jet cockpit here with all the buttons and the slides and the sound meters and all that other kind of stuff. And it's just sometimes it gets the better of me and just knocks me out. But we're going to do something real quick. We're going to take Ricky because he's been waiting. Ricky, thank you for holding. Thank you very much. How can I help you?
Good morning.
Good morning.
I was just calling to get your thoughts on, I have a 2019 F-150 with the 3.5 EcoBoost. And I was calling to get your thoughts on the catch cans. Do you guys recommend those, or do you have any thoughts on those?
Now, what are you talking about? A catch can underneath the hood? Are you shedding oil? Are you blowing oil? Are you got an oil leak? What's the deal?
I don't have an oil leak. But, you know, during this age of YouTube and everything, they're always talking about upgrades you should do to your vehicle, and the catch can has got to be the one that everybody says, no, you got to do this because the oil's going to blow by and get it back into your intake, and it's going to cause problems.
Okay. When you say YouTube, my eyes glass over. Not you, please. Not, I don't mean this, because there's just all kinds of people out there on YouTube espousing themselves as experts, and they know what to do, And I heard from a friend of mine who owns a shop. He says, when I hear YouTube, I just clam up. He says, I close my eyes, close my ears, and he says, and I'm just not interested because more. And I agree with him across the board. 50% of the stuff I see on YouTube, or I'm told on YouTube, or who I can go see it myself, 50% of it is just totally wrong. Here's the deal. We're going to recycle oil and oil vapors in your car. Your system is a closed loop system. And when you throttle up hard and you kick that EcoBoost in the butt, and all of a sudden we're pouring some big time pressure to the engine, it's capable of handling that. You have a PCV valve on that system too, a positive crankcase ventilation valve. That's the dog that I think we should spend more time with. Because this little valve that is less than $10, or $10 plus or minus, I'll say, that positive crankcase ventilator. So on one side of the motor, we have a vent, and there's a hose that goes to the air cleaner. And that's where we have air come into the motor. It goes through and picks up all the hydrocarbons, all the unburnt gasoline, incomplete combustion, CO, and we're going to run it back into the intake manifold. So we're literally going to suck the fumes off the car and burn them again. So the catch can is if you take your EcoBoost and you program a tremendous amount of boost, or you make some changes to it to where you get a lot of boost, you're going to overcome that positive crankcase ventilation system, the PCV valve system, and you're going to start spewing oil other places. A catch can, they're saying, okay, what you're going to do is take this hose and run it over here to this catch can. Now, we're going to be blowing pressurized mist oil, liquid oil, into a can. Now, unless we vent that can, all we're going to do is make a mess with that can. So there's nothing out there that I have a catch can on. And I want to tell you that cars that we've built, twin turbo Corvettes, has lots of internal pressure. A Camaro with a blower on it. We've done some high performance diesels, including the one I drive. And yes, we make modifications to that system, but a catch can is not that. Sometimes we'll meter the flow through the PCV valve system. Sometimes we'll add an extra filter to that. But as far as a catch can is concerned, if you get to where you start blowing oil out of the motor, and it's going either on the ground or into the PCV valve system, you've overboosted that motor, and it's NFL. It's not for long. So if you're stock and you're not experiencing any oil on the ground and no obvious leaks when you lift the hood, you don't need a catch can.
Okay, that makes sense. Because they're always talking about, you know, the catch can is just part of the upgrades. Then you can also reprogram it to get more.
Again, all we're doing is sucking the fumes off the motor and burning them again. Positive crankcase ventilation. So we're just ventilating the crankcase, and we're using a lot of hydrocarbons, a lot of unburnt fuel. We're going to run it through the motor again. It's kind of like your dishwasher. We're going to take a little bit of the dirty water that's going into the drain and recycle it back in through the dishwasher. There's no benefit to that. If you need a catch can, you have taken that motor into an area it doesn't belong, and it's not going to last for long. There's programmers that you can put on that, your EcoBoost, and you can add some power to it. But people get greedy on a 1 to 10 scale. People will jump to the 10. I'm in favor if you're going to modify that. I like it if you just start at about 4 and then go to 5 and then go to 6 and just move your way up and monitor your fuel economy, your power, your performance, that kind of stuff. And get to a place where you want. But when you get to number 7, then you put a 2-axle, 24-foot trailer behind it, you got to back off that 7. You got to come back down to 4 or 3. Because you're gonna overwhelm that engine because you're pouring the coal to it, and all of a sudden you added a trailer. We see this a lot. So I'm not Debbie Downer about modifying your diesels and your trucks and your cars and all that kind of stuff, because we do our fair share of that kind of stuff. But it's just not one fix for everybody. We want to know what you're hauling and what your trailer weighs and how many axles it has on it, and is it a gooseneck or a bumper pull. Look at your exhaust system and what kind of oil you're using, what weight of oil are you using, where the oil leak's coming from. Those are all the real important things. But if yours is stock and you're going to make a minor modification on a 1 to 10 scale, you're going to use a 2 or a 3. You're not going to need a catch can. Okay, Ricky, thank you very much. 602-508-0960, 602-508-0960. Thompson's Auto Repair and Towing was involved in this most recent storm that ripped through Mesa, and the roof of their repair shop was taken off. Brian and Thelma at the time were out of town. So if you're customers of Thompson's Auto Repair in Mesa, they're not going to be open for a couple of more days. They're working hard on getting the roof put back in. They're working with their insurance company, and they're keeping their technicians employed and stuff, and they're doing the very best they can. But they're on Main Street just east of Stapley on the south side of the road. I've known this family for a very, very long time, since the 70s. So Brian comes from one gas station family. Thelma comes from another gas station family that historically was in Mesa in the 60s and the 70s. So they've been around, and they're going to come out of the ground new again, but it's just going to take some time. So if you're a customer of Thompson's, and he's the only shop in Mesa I can recommend people to, because he's that good. He's just a really good guy, and like I said, he's on Stapley just east of Mesa, or on Main Street just east of Stapley, so he's centrally located as well. So those of you that maybe they're not answering the phone or the line's busy, then I'm just telling you now that Thompson's has got some roof problems. And as a result of that, they've got some damaged cars that they're having fixed. And their insurance company is stepping up and taking care of those cars. Plus, they got to get the car fixed, both mechanically and now paint and body.
Yeah.
So
a mess.
It's got to be a huge mess.
Yeah.
So anyway, that's Thompson's Auto Repair and Towing. There's another shop on the north side of town, strictly diesel service and repair, that's owned by Nate. He's a good friend of mine. Nate knows Chevrolet, Dodge, and Ford diesels like nobody I know. He is really good at what he does. And he's one of the very few shop owners that will actually spend time on the phone walking you through your question. So he's up at Pinnacle Peak and I-17. He's been around a long time. He's there Monday through Friday. And you can also go to strictlydieselserviceandrepair.com and look at some of the stuff that they sell in the aftermarket arena. So if you're looking for like an air filter, or you're looking for a programmer or some kind of a modification on your diesel, then Nate can talk you through that. And he's really good at saying, no, you don't want to stack these two together. And when he says that, you need to listen to him, because he knows, just like we know, when you stack them together, usually bad things happen. And when bad things happen, usually the shop ends up paying for it. And that's really what it's all about. So anyway, strictly diesel service and repair. And Nate's one of the very few owners that will actually call you back and spend some time with you. Many of us are just so busy running the ship and running the shop and stuff, it's very difficult to deal with that. But Nate has a good a structure underneath him, yeah, of other people that can handle that.
Well, and yeah, and most of them, the guys, the service writers, or, you know, people can take care of those questions and that type of thing. Yeah. So,
and you bring up a good point. It's a good idea to just talk to the person on the phone first,
right,
as opposed to asking for the shop foreman or the service manager or something like that, because that's going to be pretty difficult. Those are usually calls that don't get accommodated just because it's kind of expensive to have our people on the line. 602-508-0960. Well, welcome back, everybody. 34 minutes after the hour of 10 o'clock. My wife, Renee, is sitting here next to me. We've been doing business together since 1979. I am the rooster, and she is the bigger rooster.
Yeah.
And actually, I think I said this before, and I know you don't like it, but I'm the one that spanks them and hires them and fires them, and you're the one that gives them hugs and gives them raises and does the good stuff. So we have a pretty good...
Yeah.
I mean, we work together pretty well. When they get called into your office, they know it's a happy thing. When they get called into my office, they know it's not happy.
Yeah, used to be that way, yeah.
Anyway, Action Auto Repairs at I-17 in Deer Valley. He's a full-service, family-owned auto repair shop that served Deer Valley and North Phoenix since 1983, and I've known Tom since just slightly before 1983, when he sold engine analyzers, those big scopes that we used to put your car on, and the scope would tell us what to do. Anyway, Tom, they're well known for good workmanship, good customer service, fast turnaround time. They have ASE certified master technicians. So if you're near I-17 in Deer Valley, then Tom at Action Auto is a good place for you to go.
Do you remember how big those scopes were? That just reminded me. Those things were gigantic. We used to have to roll them around on wheels and think how far they've come.
All right, let me ask you, test yours. What did we pay for our first scope?
Oh, it was like $30,000.
How much?
$30,000.
It was more than our first house.
Yeah.
The engine analyzers, the scope, everybody called it the scope. Just put it on the scope.
Right.
The scope was going to tell you what's the matter with the car.
Yeah.
You had to interpret the values. So if all the four cylinders, a Honda engine, and you killed the first cylinder and it had 110 pounds or 110 RPM loss, then you killed number two, 110, 130, 135, and then you get to this one and there was 20 RPM loss. Well, you know the problem's there, but you don't know what it is.
Right.
You got to go find it. Mm-hmm. But now, if you'll remember, how many of those engine analyzers did we ultimately own?
I think it was three.
It was?
It was.
Because after we paid 30-some-odd thousand for the first one, then the next version two came out, and it was priced better.
Mm-hmm.
And so I was hedging my bet, so I bought that one, and you and I fought about that a lot.
Of course.
And then the third one came out, and it was a used one on a shop that was closing up, so we bought that. And it wasn't more than just 2 or 3 years ago that we finally threw those in the dumpster.
Well, yeah, we tried to give them away because we thought somebody would want them for some kind of, you know, historical value,
right,
but nobody even wanted them. We couldn't give those things away. I think we took them apart and did all the metal in the metal
bin.
We didn't just throw them in the trash. Don't be saying we're trash.
No, we threw the metal in the metal recycling bin.
Right.
And actually, they used the forklift to crush the carrier, the thing that held it. But the CRT screen and stuff like that, we sent to the appropriate people.
Right.
But the wiring and all that kind of stuff. Those engine analyzers, there was two kinds, and there was one that walked you through this process and then told you how to fix the car.
Yeah.
Ours, which was a Bear, that was the
right.
brand,
uh-huh.
Bear, ours just told you that this is where the problem's at. You need to go fix it yourself.
Okay.
Now, the other one would walk you through this, and you'd spend 2 or 3 hours on a car chasing your tail, and it had a vacuum leak.
Mm-hmm.
Ours would just say, it's running really lean. I've added more fuel and it smooths out, so I know it's not too much fuel, it's too much air.
Okay.
You need to go find the air leak.
Okay.
And then the PCV valve hose had come off and was sucking air. You plugged it back in, the machine said, oh, way to go, Mark, or Bob, or whoever was using it. So those were the days, though, back in the 70s and the 80s when they first came out with electronic carburetors in 1981. They came out with fuel injections in the 90s.
Mm-hmm.
When you start looking at all that kind of stuff, that was something special.
Yeah. Well, and that's why, you know, like Eddie, who's been with us 34 years or whatever. I mean, he can do all this stuff because he was
back there
in those days. Yeah. So that we have a lot of people that bring their old cars in. People just don't work on them because they have no idea what the heck any of that is.
But there is a progression. 602-508-0960. 602-508-0960. And nobody's in the wings, right?
That's true.
Okay. All right. You're right. You're absolutely right. When we first got those engine analyzers, it taught us everything. Mm-hmm. I remember one time we waited for 2 weeks for a technician at the Chevrolet dealership to tell us what was wrong.
Okay.
And he called and he talked to me and he asked me about this and this and this and this and this. We didn't understand that the oil pressure switch that tells the computer about the oil pressure, when it goes bad, the computer shuts the engine off.
Oh.
And it shuts the fuel off.
Okay.
And it takes the electric circuit on the fuel system dead.
Mm-hmm.
So we're sitting here, why won't this start? It'll run when we feed it propane. It'll run when we dribble gasoline down the intake. It'll start and run, but there's no fuel.
Okay.
And so we call him, and he says, I think I know what you're talking about. And so then he calls back, and he goes, did you do this? What's your fuel pressure? We don't have any fuel pressure. Okay, well, you don't have any fuel pressure because the computer says something's wrong, and it's usually related to oil. Mm. Well, yeah, I do. I do have an oil light on. He says you need to fix the oil light. So we go in and we find out that the fuel pump or the oil pump is the screen is plugged. So we pull the pan, put it on, boom, starts right up. Just starts right up. And it
that took 2 weeks.
Oh yeah, oh yeah. Well, and we weren't the first guy that said that passed on it.
Right.
I mean, there was two or three other shops that said, "Hey, we can't figure this out."
Yeah.
But that's what in 1981. That's the way it was. Mm-hmm. We all of a sudden we started doing all kinds of weird stuff that we had never done before.
Sure.
And so, but today now we have no distributors and we have computers that control every aspect of the car: the climate control, the cooling system, the air conditioning system, the tire temperature, the brakes, the ABS, all that kind of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And on top of that, they're recording all that information in the black box, so in the event that the police want to look at your black box, they'll know exactly what the heck you were doing.
Pretty
15
scary.
Minutes before.
That's why a lot of people want to keep their old cars.
That's exactly right. 602-508-0960, and we'll be back right after this. Well, welcome back, everybody. 44 minutes after the hour of 10 o'clock. My wife, Renee, is sitting here with me. We've been in business together since 1979. She handles the books, the money, and the staff, and she gives out hugs to all the good guys, and I spank everybody and be mean, and I am the big a-hole of the of the business. So we have Snow White and Jack the Ripper. We've been known that for many, many years.
Mm-hmm.
Yes?
Yes. Well, that's your self-appointed name for us, but
okay.
Yes.
That's all right. Mm-hmm. I'll take that. Take that. Would you pull that back up for me on your phone?
Oh, sure.
There's a friend of ours that owns a RV sales and a facility in Chandler called Sport Truck. Sport Truck RV Sales. He's looking for an administrative receptionist. Why do you do that?
Oh, I'm sorry. I was trying to help you.
I know. I don't. He's looking for an administrative clerical receptionist for their sport truck division in Chandler. He's looking for a lady who's done all of the bookkeeping and handling of customers and directing the customers to the appropriate people and understanding all of that. He's looking for a seasoned female that has had that kind of experience, and maybe the kids are now going to school and she has some time on her hands, or maybe at this particular point she just wants to change jobs. One way or another, talk to Daryl, and Daryl is from Sport Truck RV Sales in Chandler, and he's the one that's going to be taking applications. He can explain to you everything about the job. But I'll tell you something else I'll do for you. Mark@MarkSalem.com. Mark with a K at Mark Salem. Salem spelled like the cigarette, .com. You can send me an email, and I'll send you the information myself. Mm-hmm. And so I'll help Daryl by sending you there. But we've been friends of Daryl's for 2 or 3 years. Mm-hmm. We've purchased at least one motor home from him. He has a service department. He has a sales department. And they do the high-end motorhomes, the ones that are going to cost somewhere in the vicinity of a quarter of $1 million, north of that, easy. But that's really not, I mean, there's motorhomes out there right now that are north of $1 million.
Mm-hmm.
So these are the kinds of motorhomes that he does sales and service on. And he had a young lady that worked for him that her and her husband moved. And so he's got this big hole in his organization. And he's looking for the right female that's been in this kind of an environment where it's decision-making, mm-hmm. just get her done.
Yeah, it says Monday through Friday and 8 to 5 and family-run business. So, but mm-hmm. they've got competitive pay, 401k match, medical, dental, and vision benefits. That's
everything.
Pretty good, and it's hard to find.
And
yeah.
Monday through Friday is an important
Monday
thing.
Monday through Friday is what it says, yeah. So,
if you're interested, if you want I'll send you the email, mark@marksalem.com. That's my email. And if you're interested, then I'll put you in touch with Daryl, and you can talk to him. We're just doing this because he's a friend of ours, and because he has a big hole in his organization right now, because this administrative assistant,
yeah.
who was the first one you interfaced with when you walk in the door,
yeah.
Has moved away.
And I think he said it could be a man or a woman.
Okay.
I'm not sure he said just a woman, but right. either one.
I didn't know that.
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
I think you said.
But I'll correct you next week on the radio when you're not here. Because I don't know what he said.
No.
Well,
yeah.
I'm assuming that he was looking for another female.
Yeah.
But I'm sure okay. there was some man that had you know, years
his
of experience
skills.
In this kind
sure.
of environment that Daryl yeah. would certainly talk to him.
Exactly.
Anyway, automatic transmission exchange. When you talk about Fred Flintstone guys in our industry, you're talking about Phil at Automatic Transmission Exchange. Phil was around when the cars in Phoenix had holes in the floorboard and you pedaled them on the floor.
Oh, boy.
Phil's been around since
he's
the
probably
first.
Younger than you.
No, he isn't.
Okay.
No, he's we're the same age.
Okay.
But he also has, he's been working on automatic transmissions since they first came out.
Okay.
So how you shift from first to second, second to third, third to fourth, et cetera, lock up the converter, go into overdrive, it's the same. We used to do it with vacuum and throttle pressure. We used to do it with speed. Now we do it with computers. And the computer looks at your speed, looks at your throttle, looks at the ambient temperature, looks how long the car's been on the road, what the speed is, and it makes the decision in the blink of an eye. But Phil can do all of that.
Okay.
So if you drive up and down Washington, he's at 40th Street in Washington. He's on the north side of the road, and you'll know his place because Automatic Transmission Exchange has a transmission up in the air on a pole. And so you know it's a transmission shop, but he's a good guy, and it's not uncommon for people to call him and say, could I stop by later this afternoon, and what time would be convenient, and I can take someone for a quick drive, and I can make it happen. That's the important sentence. I can make it happen. Because we can't let you, even our shop,
mm-hmm.
we're not, it's happened how many times in all these years,
mm-hmm.
someone will take one of our technicians on what we think is going to be a nice 5-10 minute ride and demonstrate a vibration or the air conditioning does this or does that or whatever, and they're gone for an hour. And then they come back and they go, I couldn't make it happen. That's really difficult for a shop owner to, I just lost an hour's worth of time.
Yeah.
And the technician's not happy because he isn't going to be compensated for that time because it's not part of it. It's just ugly. So Phil says, if you can make it happen, I will assign someone to go in your car
yep.
and make it happen. But you're not going to take him to Wickenburg. He told me the other day someone took one of his technicians to Wickenburg.
I remember
because
that.
that's where it happens. And he's on Washington and 40th Street. So anyway.
Yeah, that's a little tough.
Yeah.
Sometimes you just have to wait till things get worse.
And easier to find.
Exactly.
And until you make it happen, mm-hmm. you have to make it happen. I can't tell you how many cars I've fixed that people came in and wanted a tune-up.
Yes.
It's always in the summertime.
Yes.
Okay. And it's the car goes, yee. What is it?
Air conditioning's low on Fran.
Exactly. The air conditioning compressor is low on Fran. The system is low on Fran. So the air conditioning compressor, when the computer sees the pressures drop, then it shuts the air off until it sees the pressure build. So as you drive down the road, the engine goes, and people think it's missed, so they come in and they go, I need a tune-up.
Right.
And then we do a tune-up that could easily cost... shoot, $500 on today's cars that are really only done at every 100,000 miles.
Yes.
I need a tune-up. So you do the tune-up, and they come back still doing it.
Yeah.
Oh, boy, you know you're in trouble then.
Yeah, that's why you just explain the symptoms to the technicians or the service writers and not try to guess what it is. Tell them what you want.
That's the worst part of our industry. That's the worst thing that can happen to us as a shop owner is somebody says that this is what it is,
right.
but they don't tell you who told them that, and they won't give you the symptoms.
Right.
So they come in and they say to you, I want you to reprogram my ECM. Right then, we just know we're not doing that. We're just not doing that. I don't care. I don't know where you got that. I don't know why. Well, that's because the guy on YouTube said that's what we need to have done.
Oh, okay.
Is he paying for this?
Yeah.
Because it's probably not going to work. I think let's change the question in this respect. Mark, how often do you fix a drivability problem by reprogramming the ECM, electronic engine control module? Never. If it comes in on a tow truck, sometimes we replace them because they just gone bad.
Mm-hmm.
Or somebody jump-started their car wrong and crossed the cables and wiped out the PCM, the computer. There's lots of those things that happen. But as far as fixing a problem by reprogramming or putting new software in the ECM, chances of that are slim and none. And here's the deal. If there is a reprogram, mm-hmm. it's usually an update. And the car owner is notified that there's an update that will fix this problem.
Right.
And so if you drive on Wednesdays and between noon and 12:30 your windshield wipers start flapping and you didn't do anything, then this recall notice and this software update will fix that problem. That's what we hear.
Yeah.
Of course, I'm talking about stupid stuff.
Of course
but that's
are.
The kind of stuff.
Right.
Yeah. That's the kind of stuff that we look for.
Right.
But
and it's good if you're the driver of the car, too. If you're having some kind of weird issue, it's easier to talk to you and get the symptoms than it is, oh, have your wife bring it in and, you know, she tried to tell you what's going on when she doesn't ever drive the car.
And it goes both ways.
The wife
brings the husband's car in or the husband brings the wife's car in and neither one of them knows what they're talking about. It's just that they're being told by their wife or their spouse.
And if they drive the car, they're more likely to know what the symptoms are.
And answer our questions.
Does it do
it hot or cold? I want you to try to turn the air conditioning off when this has happened and tell me if that makes any difference. Another thing I want you to do is take it out of drive and move it down to D3. I want you to put it in D3 every time you put it in gear and tell me if that's the problem. I'm testing the torque converter lockup by taking it into D3.
Mm-hmm.
And so as we go through that, those are the kinds of things. But people look at you like with glass eyes and think their eyes are glassed over, and they're going, why are you asking me that? Well, this is the diagnostic process. I can charge you $150, $175 an hour to go find it, but if you'll just talk with me and if you will work on this together, I can get a lot closer, a lot cheaper.
Mm-hmm.
And when you walk in the door and you say, I have this engine miss that's just terrible, but it's only there when my air conditioning is on. Okay, well, the compressor is cycling. It's going, right? Yes, that's it. Okay, well, I'll put some Freon in your air conditioning system and we'll be done.
Mm-hmm.
So those are the kinds of things that we like to happen. 602-508-0960 and... I don't think we
have still got a couple more minutes.
We still got a couple more minutes.
You want to tell them the Bob Key story?
Oh.
Yeah.
This guy, this Bob is his name, all right? We're not going to use his last name.
Bob,
he owned the car shops and motorcycle shops and this and that. And he just knows everything there is to know about everything there is to know. So we meet him at a funeral in California. Charlie Sugius died, and he was friends of both of ours. And Charlie had a wonderful facility. In, what was that?
Encinitas.
Encinitas Auto Shop. So anyway, on Bob's way home, he calls me from his motorhome, and he tells me, hey, listen, he says, go ahead.
It's not that funny, but go ahead.
What did he say?
I don't know. I wasn't there.
Okay. He says, I've determined that the inside dual on my motorhome is flat.
Okay.
And he says, and I'm 20 miles from anywhere, mm-hmm. and I want to know if I can drive it. And I said, wow. I don't know, because I don't know a whole lot of things. What's the temperature of the tire? How am I supposed to know that? Well, how do you know it's flat? Well, because the tire pressure monitoring system says it's flat. And I said, okay, well, that's good. Did you thump it with a hammer or something? Oh, no, it's obviously flat. Okay, I want you to go into your TPMS, and I want you to see if they say tire temperature. Oh, God, okay.
He goes, no, it doesn't have it.
Yeah, and
he argued with you. Yes, okay. I do remember you told me that.
And then I said to him, I want you to go look anyway. So he comes back and he goes, yeah, it says temperature. And I said, okay, I don't care about the tire that's flat, that temperature. I want to know about the tire, that the dual that's with it. And he goes, okay. I said, what's the temperature on that dual? He says, I don't know. What did he say, 130? I think 130,
120. Yeah, 120,
30. That's
something like that, yeah.
And I said, that's fine. He goes, well, how do you know that's fine? And I said, well, the glue comes apart on a tire at between about 180 and 200. So when you get to 180 or 200, that's when you kiss your tail end goodbye, because that tire is NFL, not for long. And he goes, well, how will I know if I can make it 20 miles? And I said, just drive slow and watch the temperature. And when it gets up north at 170, you got to pull over and have the dogs go to the bathroom on the tire, whatever. Take some time, let the tire cool off, and then drive again. So he calls me from the shop, and he says, okay, the inside dual's flat because the rubber hose came off. And he said, they fixed that. There doesn't appear to be any blistering on the inside of the tire. I thought that was pretty cool that he said that. Mm-hmm. That's the shop. That was a very good shop that knew to look for the blistering.
Okay.
So they got the tire in, and everything was fine. I said, what was the maximum? He says, it never even got north of 160.
Okay.
And I said, okay, good. And he says, how do you know that? And I said, Renee told me. And I just hung up on him. So
right.
If you have a tire pressure monitoring system, it gives you inflation on the tire as well as the temperature of the tire. So if you have a tire that's really low and you're still 100 miles from where you want to go and you think the faster you go is better, you're not going to make it. So if you watch the temperature, just keep in mind that a tire will come apart somewhere between 170 and 200 Fahrenheit. So you don't want to go fast to where you start getting into that area. And last night, we mm-hmm. came in from Payson. Mm-hmm. We were hauling an empty trailer.
Mm-hmm.
We stopped at the Mexican food place to get our call-in order.
Yeah.
I pulled out my temperature gun, and I did all the trailer tires and all the truck tires.
Okay.
All the left side tires were 140.
Hmm. Yeah.
All the right side tires were 150.
Yeah, I already know the answer because I already had that problem before.
Because the sun was on the passenger side of the truck and the trailer. So as we came south from Payson, then the sun is on the right side. And as a result of that, that's the hotter side. So it was between 7 and 10 degrees hotter mm-hmm. on one side than the other.
Yeah.
So anyway, if you don't have a temperature gun in your car and you haul trailers or you have a RV or something like that, you should have a temperature gun. You can buy them from Harbor Freight.
Uh-huh.
And what you're going to do is you're going to gun the crown of the tire where the tread meets the sidewall. You're going to be about 4 or 5 inches away. Gun the tire, and it'll tell you the temperature. That's a very handy. You don't need to adjust the temperature or the inflation if everything else is okay. You don't need to. So nevertheless, 602-508-0960. We're going to be back for another hour, 602-508-0960. Well, thank you for our hour number two here, and we have one caller online right now. His name is Rich, and I'm going to get to him in just a second. And if you'd like to join us, there's four lines open, 602-508-0960, 602-508-0960. Let me tell you real quick about a great shop in Sun City, and the only one I can recommend in Sun City is Auto Dynamics. They've been around since 1982, family-owned and operated. I've known Chuck since the 60s. I know that Chuck knows right from wrong, and I know he makes sure his technicians know the difference between right and wrong. So if you're in Sun City and you're looking for a good shop, then they're on the north side of Grand, just west of 99th Avenue, Automotive Dynamics. Rich, good morning. How can I help you?
Hi, Mark.
Hey.
I have an RX 350 2019, and I got a parking sensor that's bad. Now, I think I heard that it's a kind of a sonic device that's in the front. Looks like maybe some rock. I've chipped it. Is that a big deal to get changed?
No, it's big deal in time and labor? No. Big deal in money? Probably yes. Here's what has to happen. You have a parking sensor light, and it's a yellow light. Is that right?
Correct.
Okay. Yellow is caution, means you can continue to drive. So we're going to plug our scanner in. Now, the scanners, when they first came out, were a couple hundred dollars, and today we can spend $25,000 for a scanner for one model car or one make of car. So a lot of us have lots of scanners for the Chevys and the Fords and the Hondas and the Toyotas and the Lexus and all the rest of them. So we're going to plug in, and we're going to say, hey, take us to the area of concern. And so we're going to push some buttons, and we're going to look, and then we're going to drive down the road, and we're going to look at the operation of the sensors. And then it will tell us this. But it will also tell us, before you replace this sensor, it's probably going to cost a couple hundred dollars for the sensor all by itself. I need you to make sure that you have 5 volts on this wire and zero and a good ground on this wire. So make sure of that first. And then before you plug a new one in, make sure that you have that good power at the plug. Because a lot of times the problem is a connection, and it's not the sensor that's the problem. It's the connection. And especially around the tires and wheels, because that's the dirtiest part of the car. So in your particular case, I would take it to the shop, make sure that they feel confident in going in and talking to the computer and finding out, because most of us do. I'd say 80% of the shops in town could probably handle this. And it's just a matter of looking and seeing if we can see the sensor. And a lot of times you'll just pull up close to a wall, and that's not all it takes for the sensor to say, wait a minute. So those are the kinds of things that we go through. So there's a diagnostic procedure that you'll pay separately for. Then you'll pay for the part, and you'll pay for the part installation. So it's going to have three different portions of the bill. It'll have diagnostic, then it'll have the part and the labor to replace and calibrate the part. And so it's not that really big of a deal, but I'm going to be guessing you're going to be in the $200 range, $200 to $300 range, and that's a wild guess, okay?
Sure.
Do you have a shop that you...
Do these typically go bad?
Well, to be honest with you, my wife and I are looking at ourselves, and we don't remember the last parking sensor that we had.
I don't.
A lot of them are damaged, and if somebody climbed a curb accidentally or somebody ran over something on the roadway accidentally, sometimes we'll find that. The answer to the question on what the heck happened will be after we diagnose it. Now, it's not uncommon for the sensor to be dirty.
He said he thought it looked like a rock hit it, maybe.
Okay, and if that's the case, then it's distorted the lens.
Yeah.
So if you can see that there's a ding on the lens, mm-hmm. and if it's plastic or glass, then not only do we get moisture inside, but we start to fog it up, and now the sensor can't really see anything because it's like wearing glasses that are all fogged up. So, and you know, I don't know about you, but I think... If I went to the sensor, this is silly. I'm going to give him my cowboy logic.
Mm-hmm.
This gets me in trouble, but I'm going to try it anyway.
Okay.
I would go there, and I would determine that there's a little hole in the lens, and it's dirty inside.
Mm-hmm.
So I'd probably take the sensor out, and I'd probably take a syringe and put some alcohol in it, and I would squirt it in that little bitty hole, and then I'd shake it all up, and I'd dry it all out, and I would blow compressed air into it, but I wouldn't blow it up.
Yeah.
And I would set it outside and dangle it down, and I'd do all this kind of stuff, and then I'd put a dab of silicone on it, just a dab of silicone where that little rock chip is at.
Not now, everybody is as patient as you.
No, no, but here's the downside to that.
Yeah.
You could change the optics.
That's
if
right.
You put the silicone in there.
Oh, okay.
You see what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
So it would have to be, you have to know that. So you put a dab of silicone in it, then you take a razor blade and you just scrape the top of it off ever so carefully. There's going to be a little white spot in that eye of that parking lane changing. But, you know, if the thing costs $300, the part's $300, it's worth it.
It's worth it to try it.
It's the old cowboy way.
Okay.
But anyway, that's where you're going.
I heard it was as a sonic device. Is that what it is?
It could very well be a sonic device. It could very well. I don't know. Sonic is used in a variety of terms. It's kind of like radar.
Mm-hmm.
Sonic's kind of like radar. And so it's looking for something close up. So I don't know. But to be perfectly honest with you, how it does its job is not important. It's testing it to see if it can do its job. And if not, making sure that the wiring's good and then replacing the sensor. So it's a 1, 2, 3, 4 kind of thing.
Okay. Well, gee, thank you so much, Mark.
Okay. Good luck to you, Rich.
Appreciate your time.
You bet. 602-508-0960. 602-508-0960. The lines are wide open, and Gil says, no, they aren't. Who's
yep,
next, Gil?
Aren't.
Say hello to Chris.
Chris, good morning.
Hey, Mark, a couple quick questions. I have a 95 pickup with under 100,000 miles, but it gets horrible gas mileage, you know, 13 to 15. Is there a way of changing out, having somebody change out the computer to get better gas mileage?
No.
Truck's in great shape.
Okay.
I want to keep it.
Okay, okay. All right. Well, let me just tell you what I would do to maximize the fuel economy. First of all, I'd air up all the tires to the maximum inflation that's written on the tire. Okay? Not the sticker on the door. The maximum inflation cold on the tire. So it may say the door says 35 and the tire says 44. I'd put 44 in it. I'd use a semi-synthetic oil or a full synthetic oil. I'd drive around with the windows up most of the time. And this isn't going to cost you a dime. I'm telling you right now, it's not going to cost you. I'm not going to charge you anything. Take a raw egg and tape it to the throttle pedal, and don't break the egg. And I can guarantee you that you're going to get up in the 18 to 20 miles to the gallon if you do everything that Mark Salem said. And if it's your wife's car, then make it a hard-boiled egg, and then you won't have to clean the mess up. It really is. Put it. One old codger told me that he put a cup holder on his dash, and he filled it with water, and he put the glass in there permanently. Mm-hmm. And he says, and I just drive around so I don't spill. And I said, well, heck, my wife's got a beer between her legs, and she spills that all the time.
Stop
it. I'm teasing you.
But
you get my point. Now, I want to tell you something that's going to make you, I don't know if it'll make you feel better. I have a one-ton Dodge Dually. And it's got the diesel motor in it. And I can tell you right now, I'm at 13 to 15 miles to the gallon, right?
Well, yeah, but how do you drive?
Well, wait a minute. I was going to add that in.
Not before me, because it's not good.
There are times when people drive my truck, and on the way up and down the mountain, they want to race up the mountain.
Yeah.
You're racing down the mountain. Stupid. But, you know, and I'm not there, but a lot of times the truck, the fuel economy, depending on who the driver is, like it could be Renee, my wife, the bottom line is how it's driven. But I'm pretty proud of the 13 to 15 miles per gallon on my truck. And I've been higher than that, but I'm not hauling trailers and horses when I'm doing that either. But your 13 to 15 isn't that bad of a deal.
Okay. And last but least, I have a 05 Murano with a less than 102,000 miles, and I'm wondering if I should get a tune-up or just drive it for another year, because I don't put a lot on it, and then when I trade it in, let someone else deal with that.
How many miles are on it now?
A little less than 102,000.
Okay, given that choice, I'd say there's nothing to fix right now. There's nothing to fix. Yeah, there's no lights, no check engine light, no misfire codes, no rough idling, no fuel economy plummeting, nothing there at all. So I'm not giving you a reason to commit fraud. I'm just telling you from a mechanical point of view, there's no reason to do your tune-up right now. Now, spark plugs typically do expire somewhere in the 100,000-mile range, but when you sell the car or you trade the car in, they're going to have a certain amount of money there for this kind of bringing it up to speed for hoses or belts or whatever. So don't feel bad about that. So if you're going to trade it in, And you know that for sure. I would not do the Murano.
Okay.
I wouldn't do it.
Awesome. Thank you very much for your help. You guys have a great show, and I love it when the two of you are together.
Yeah, you're the only one that does.
Oh God.
Anyway, thank you very much. The reason we're together is because we're both down here together.
Right.
And so she said, "What are you going to do on radio?" And I said, "I'm going to do what I always do." And she says, "Well, I don't have anything to do. Can I come sit with you?" And I said, "Sure." And she does bring something to the table. She's my personal lie detector.
I tell on you all the time.
And she does. She does that as well. Let me talk about Blackwell Auto, 40th Street and Greenway. Tom is, and you can fill in the blank, Tom is a wild card. He's a madman. He's certified crazy. He takes cars in that nobody in town would take in, and he fixes them. he's just one of those guys, and he's a good friend of mine. Mm-hmm. And we are very much alike. We're yeah. different in certain things, but if you're up near the northeast corner of the valley, that northeast quadrant, I can't find anybody that will pass the muster and pass the filter I've created over the last 20 years of the shops that I talk about. So Blackwell's got that whole area up there, 40th and Greenway, been around a very long time, knows what he's doing. But the best part is Aaron, the service manager. Aaron is every bit as good as Tom as a technician, but he also can manage Tom where Tom has a tough time managing Aaron. and we all love that. And in addition to that, Tom does restorations of old Corvettes and old Chevelles and old Fords and old Dodges and old Chryslers and all that kind of stuff. So if you've got something that you want to set up because your 12-year-old is going to be 16 in a few years and you want him to drive the truck that you had and you're going to pull it out of the garage, then Tom's a good guy to talk to about, let's put that back on the road and let's do what's necessary to make it dependable and safe. That's it. Dependable and safe. So that's Blackwell Automotive, 40th Street in Glendale.
It's Greenway.
I'm sorry. Did I say Glendale before, too?
No.
Okay, Greenway, 40th Street in Greenway. 602-508-0960 is the phone number if you have a car question. And we will accept car questions from wives that said, my husband said, and she can do that, and we'll understand that completely. Mm-hmm. So we'll be right back. Welcome back, everybody. 21 minutes after the hour of 11 o'clock. I'm Mark Salem. Sitting here next to me is Renee Salem. We've been working on cars together since 1979. We were both about 6 years old.
Yep.
Isn't that right?
Yep.
Okay. And the better one of the ones working on cars is me, a little better than Renee, but she'll tell you different. And you can. I'm an ASE certified master technician.
I was just telling you what to do. You were doing the work.
Oh, that's okay. I get you. Uh-huh. All righty. We're going to go to the phones. And Brian and Tim. Brian's first, but Tim second. Brian, it's all yours.
Hey, good morning. I got a 2015 Chevy Suburban. Engine lights on. It's been diagnosed about four places. It's a catalytic converter. I'm a little stuck. I'm getting prices from $1,400 to $3,200. Don't know who to trust. I'm new in the area. I want to sell the Suburban, but I'm just blown away by the amount of price difference and who to trust and really what to do.
Okay, fair enough. I can help you. Are you 100% sure in talking to all the people involved that the cat is bad? We have to get over that hurdle first.
I went to the first place. They said it was an OC sensor. Charged me a few bucks to change an OC sensor. And a day later, the engine light turned back on.
Okay.
So at this point, I've been to four places, and they're believing that that's just diagnosing is the catalytic converter.
Okay.
Are they right? I don't know.
Okay. You know? Okay. And let me tell you what's going on, okay? The oxygen sensor is a 1 to 5 volts sensor. One is lean. That means I'm hardly seeing any fuel come out of the tailpipe of this, Mark. 5 is, holy mackerel, the gasoline out of the tailpipe is like rain, okay? So stick with me here. The O2 sensor wants to tell the computer what's going on in the catalytic converter, so it's switching constantly. Sometimes in the blink of an eye, it'll switch 20 times. And we're going to watch that under close supervision, and we want to see it switching. Obviously, you had one that wasn't, then somebody switched it and put a new one in, and now it's switching. And you still probably have the efficiency code. I'm with you. I'm not quite sure I'm at the catalytic converter. Have you had this, since this all started, have you had it out on the freeway for 30 minutes at 75 miles an hour?
Yes.
Okay.
Matter of fact, I had enough experience to know to drive it for a tank of gas.
Okay.
And I did that out there, you know.
All righty. So I'm thinking that your diagnosis, because of all the people that you've talked to, and all of them have plugged in to your truck, and they're all looking at the O2 sensors and stuff like that, they're coming to the conclusion that you have a bad cat. Have you got a pencil handy?
I can.
Okay. Well, it's really easy to do. Mesa muffler. Mesa muffler.
I can remember that.
We started doing business with Mesa Muffler in 1968. it's been through some derivatives of people and stuff, but it's still a place, and they're in Mesa. They do a really great job. They do lots of custom exhaust work for us, and they are one of the cheapest guys in town because Perry, who's passed away, that just used to own, he's the one that opened up the first catalytic converter warehouse in Phoenix. So there's a lot of people that buy from him, and so I send people directly to him. So you can call them and say, number one, can you verify it's bad? And number two, how much would it cost to replace? And they'll do. I think they'll do. Well, I'm really sure they'll do a good job for you.
But does it matter if it's welded or bolted?
No, not to them it doesn't. Those guys can weld two pieces of aluminum foil together, I'm telling you. They put 2-inch dual exhaust on my 70 Chevelle. They've done a lot of custom work for us. So
it
doesn't matter to me. No, they're going
to
put on what came off. If it's welded front and back, they're going to cut it, put a new one in, and weld it. If it's got flange on the front and the back, then they're going to sell you one with a flange. We're not going to change the design of the vehicle.
Okay.
Okay?
Thank you, sir, very much.
Okay, good luck to you. Thank you. Tim, you're up next. How can I help you?
Hey, Mark and Renee, you guys got a great show. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
I'm 33 years into marrying a Renee, so...
Oh, boy.
Oh, God bless you. How did you do it? How did you do it?
All I can say is we have the fast pass to heaven.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Okay, so let me ask you a question, because here's another Mark and Renee.
Yeah.
Here, we're going to test my hypothesis about names.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, wait a minute. He's not Mark. He's
no,
Tim.
I'm Tim.
Okay.
I know. Is one of you the one that spanks the kids, and one of you is the one that hugs the kids?
Yes.
Okay. Is one of you have a bad temper and one of you don't?
Yes.
Renee, because
is one of you well known as Jack the Ripper and Snow White? Huh?
Yeah.
Okay.
My wife's maiden name is Guido.
Oh.
That's the honest to God truth.
Okay.
I'll be darned.
And so she's the spanker and you're not?
True.
Okay.
Anyway,
okay.
Let's get into this.
Yeah. Okay. Let's get okay. into the car problem.
Okay. He just insured my Jack the Ripper, Snow White, and his wife's name Renee. What
okay.
the heck?
Okay.
I mean, this is there science you. At its best right now.
All right.
Tim, I'm not saying I love my wife dearly too. It's just that, like I said, if they needed a hug, she gave it to them. If they needed a spanking, I got it. I got to give
okay,
them.
Okay, well, it's the opposite for them, so.
Yeah, that's okay, anyway. Though.
I know.
One of them's Jack the Ripper and one of them's Snow White. Okay. All right, what was his question?
All right. I got a 2011 SL550, and I had when I bought it, there was a rip in the seat, the passenger seat, and I had it replaced, and as soon as I got my car back, it's the SRS
2 minutes.
Light is on. So do I have to take it to a dealer, or can somebody that has a computer clear that out?
It's not something that's going to clear out. There's a good chance there's a problem here, and because of the timing of the light, there's a good chance it was caused by the seat. I'm suggesting to you that you go have the code diagnosed, the SRS, safety restraint system, airbag system, basically.
Uh-huh.
So go have right. it diagnosed. And then you might go back to the shop and say, this is the code I've got. This is what they said. Do you want to look at it before I go get it fixed? Because with all due respect, if this is something that you gave me, I'm going to ask you to pay for it. Now, here's the deal. They're working on the driver's side of the seat. They never took the seat out of the car, so that means they didn't forget to unplug something. And now you have a seat sensor that's found to have a broken wire on the passenger side. That may not be his problem. I think you'll agree with that hypothesis I just gave you. On the other side of the coin, they took the seat out, and the connector's boogered up. This wire was torn. This thing happened, and then now we know what happened. So I think first have it diagnosed, and see how close somebody can get, and then go ask them if they want to look at it before you have it done. And you can be nice and just say, if this is related to your work, I think we'll figure that out. But do you want to look at it first, because it is synonymous with the work that you just did?
Oh, yeah, and they definitely recognized that the light went on okay. when they got it, and they said, everything's fine, just take it to a dealer. Because we don't have the...
Okay. All right. Okay, you stay here. I want to talk to you again, so just stick around. We'll be back right after this. Well, welcome back, everybody. 34 minutes after the hour of 11 o'clock. We have open lines available, and we've still got 20 minutes left on the show. So if you have a car question, 602-508-0960, 602-508-0960. 602-508-0960. Kurt's Auto Repair in Scottsdale, or no, Scottsdale, on I-17 in Bell Road, has been on my list of great repair shops for probably 20 years or so. Kurt's is really good at domestic and import, both gas and diesel. He has ASE-certified technicians, and I can't tell you how many times I've sent someone to him, a customer, a caller, who said, nobody can fix this, and then I get a call back from either Kurt's or the customer, and they said, Kurt's fixed it. So if you're anywhere near I-17 and Bell Road, Kurt's Automotive is on the northeast corner of I-17 and Bell. Been around a long time, since 1987, as a matter of fact. He has ASE-certified technicians, and he's a good guy. All right, we got Tim on the line. And, oh, the phone number is 602-508-0960, and Tim's still on the line. Let me tell you what I want you to do.
Go ahead.
I want you to take the negative cable off the battery.
Okay.
I want you to be sure it's the negative cable. Here's why. If you have
which
a rent,
battery, though?
What's
which
that?
Battery? Which battery? I have one in the front and one in the back.
You're going to take the negative cable off both of them.
Got it. Both.
So you're going to lose all your radio station presets. You're going to lose all your seats. You're going to lose a whole lot of stuff. You're going to have to reset all the clocks, everything. But you can do this yourself, and that clears the code. So you're going to pull the negatives off both batteries. And the reason I say negative, I don't want you near that positive cable with a wrench. Because if the wrench slips and one end's connected to positive and you hit a ground with the other one, you're going to be in a fireworks show like you've never seen. So with the negative wrench on a negative cable, if you hit ground, it's no harm, no foul. So take both of those off, walk away from the car for an hour. Come back, hook the negative up, whichever one you want first. Hook it up, tighten it up good, put the other one, hit the keys, drive it. Who cares about the radio stations? Who cares about the clock? Just go drive it and see what happens. That will clear the code. If you turn the key on and the airbag light's on, and then you start the car and the airbag light's on, then something is definitely wrong, because that's called a hard failure. It's there the minute you turn the key on, we got a problem. So a intermittent failure would be something in the speed sensor, but at 0 miles per hour, the speed sensor's not quacking, and the computer knows that your foot's on the brake and we're not going anywhere. The computer knows that the speed sensor says zero, but the car is idling, so the computer knows all of this kind of stuff. But in your particular case, with the airbag and with the safety restraint system, I think you'll figure that out real quick. And if you're going to do that, then go to Mesa Muffler.
Wait. Mesa Muffler.
Oh, no. I'm sorry.
Do I have to go to a dealer?
No, you don't have to. There's a couple of pretty good Mercedes-Benz shops here in town. There was one at Scott's or Hayden and McKellop's for a long time.
Yeah,
Vivian.
They're not there
I know
anymore.
Vivian's.
Yeah.
Vivian's not there anymore.
Yep.
Why don't you send me an email, mark@marksalem.com. Oh! Goodies.
Well, that's what I was
going
to say, but then I didn't know. Yeah.
Goody knows more about Mercedes-Benz than Mr. Mercedes-Benz. That guy's fixed cars over the phone for me.
Yeah.
He's up on in North Scottsdale.
Uh-huh.
Goody's Automotive, G-O-O-D-I-E-S, something like that.
D-Y-S.
D-Y-S,
uh-huh.
Okay.
Yeah.
And tell him Mark Salem sent you, and Mark Salem is going to send you a coupon good for $500 off his bill.
2 minutes.
Okay. He's not going to believe you, and he's going to laugh.
I'm glad I'm taping this.
Exactly.
I'm not giving you $500.
You're giving Goody $500.
And I'm not giving Goody $500. But here's the reason I say that. Is first of all, it's funnier than hell. Second of all, Goody knows I'm crazy. And Goody, when he hears that, he knows this is the truth. So that's the reason I say it like that.
So should he take it there before he does that battery takeoff if he doesn't want everything to reset? Or
yes. The answer is yes.
I don't care about the reset.
Yeah.
Okay.
Goody can,
I appreciate it.
Goody can fix it. Goody can find it. He can guarantee his diagnosis. And there's a good chance that if this is tied to the seat work, that Goody can just fix it. And I want to tell you something else. I'm proud of this because Goody's an old guy like me.
Uh-huh.
And my daughter called him 2 or 3 times over a period of a year and a half, and he fixed the damn car over the phone. And then one day we got in neck deep in some Mercedes-Benz that we couldn't get to start back up.
Mm-hmm.
And we had it towed to his shop. And he called Andy, my daughter, up, and he goes, "It's running. I don't know what's the matter." And she knows. She's mad now. She goes, "It just can't run." Anyway, he explained what we did wrong. And then we sent 2 guys up, got the car, brought it back, told our customer, "Your car took a trip to North Phoenix because we needed Goody." But when it comes to older Mercedes-Benz, and even the newer ones, but even really the old ones, Goody is the Hank Aaron of Mercedes baseball. There is nobody that knows Mercedes is like that. And I'm going to tell you what he won't tell you, and that many of the Mercedes-Benz dealers in town will often lean on Goody on a car that they can't fix. Mm-hmm. So you're really going to the Mercedes God of Arizona.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I appreciate it, and I appreciate you, too. And, Mark, I probably won't even drop your name. I'll just drop Renee's.
There you go.
You know what? You better yet, drop Andy's, my daughter's, because Andy and Goody. And after, I think it's true, after Goody fixed that and he wouldn't charge us nothing, Andy had food delivered once or twice to the entire crew to compensate him for helping us.
Yeah.
And so he's a great guy. He's a great, when you meet him, if you have the opportunity to meet him, you'll know exactly why. And I said to him, "Well, can I put you on my list of best car repair shops?" And he goes, "No, because I got more business than I know what to do with now." Mm-hmm. But you're going to use Andy Salem or Renee Salem or Mark Salem as your referral, and he'll get you in. Okay?
I thank you very much.
Okay, you bet. TOT Goodies. And what do you want me to do?
Well, we need to take a break.
I'm not going to take a break. Why would I take a break? I haven't hit the mark since we've been here, so why would I take a break? I'm going to talk about Harker's Automotive.
Okay.
When you talk about old-time guys, there we're talking about old-time guys again.
There you go.
We're talking about Harker's Automotive, been around since 1967. They're well-known for auto electrical work, brake service, auto emissions, vehicle maintenance, and all that. But when it comes down to it, they know cars, and they know the old ones as well as the new ones. And Bob and Ellen own Larry Harker's Auto, and Bob runs the shop, and Ellen runs the front counter. You don't want to walk in with your hairy-chested muscle shirt on and start yapping cars with Ellen and then tell her she's wrong, because she's not. And she's really good. So if you're near 43rd Avenue or 38th Avenue in Indian School and you don't have a repair shop, may I suggest Larry Harker's Auto Repair. Good place, good people, honest as the day is long, and we'll be right back. Welcome back, everybody. 44 minutes after the hour, 11 o'clock, 602-508-0960. We've got 20 minutes left in the show. We have about 15 minutes left in the show. But I can fit another caller in, 602-508-0960, and maybe 2 callers. But we're going to go straight to Keith right now. Keith, thank you for holding. How can I help you?
Hi, Mark. I had emailed, or you started off the top of your show talking about how you respond to emails and your family responds to emails. I just wanted to share with your show and your listeners that I had emailed you about a week or two ago with an elderly aunt and uncle passing through Payson, whose air conditioner broke down on them, and I had emailed you about a shop to for them to visit in Payson.
Mm-hmm.
And indeed, you got right back to me, and I very much appreciate that. So I just wanted to say thank you. The shop couldn't get them in for 2 weeks, but that's beside the point. You did get back to us, and it was comforting.
Well, thank you.
Good.
Thank you. That I'm talking to Renee because she doesn't always, email that they were passing through and air conditioning. I called Dan at Coyote.
Yeah.
And I says, "Can I give your name?" And she said, "Yeah." But he says, "I'm kind of booked." And I said, "But if you got anything open for the next 24 hours, just hang on to it for me, okay?"
Yeah.
And he said, "Yeah." But then he called me back later and he goes, I just can't.
I know.
So I it's an unfortunate circumstance, but I do lots of email traffic. And that was an easy one. And you also tugged on my heartstrings because you've got elderly people with no air conditioning. And really, if I'd have been in Payson, and I probably would have met him at the local garage and stuffed a couple of pounds of Freon in that thing and sent them on their way, as long as there was a fan belt on the compressor. But anyway, thank you. Thank you for your call, and thank you for your acknowledgement of my service. But you know what? When I get to heaven, I want to make sure that he doesn't have his hands on his hips and says, you could have done a much better job. So I've got a lot to make up for, you know what I mean?
Yeah. Oh, I appreciate what you do for all of us out here.
Yeah.
All right. Thank you. Thank you very much, Keith.
Yeah, sometimes that's the hard part is sometimes in the summertime we get so darn busy that it's just...
We're booked we're two weeks behind now.
I know.
And she has a list of people that are in line for a no-show.
Standby.
Yeah, as a standby. Like, and folks, right now, what's going on right now is that, first of all, our technicians are moving like crazy.
Mm-hmm.
And so we've lost one of our senior diesel guys. Mm-hmm. And he left us for, I think I was told, $2 an hour.
Yeah.
And so there's a lot of movement. There's guys moving around going for greener pastures, mm-hmm. and a little bit more money and stuff like that.
Yeah.
But we're all just swamped with work.
Yeah.
And I don't know why it is that it's related to COVID, other than the fact that maybe mom and dad are both working at home.
Mm-hmm.
And now it's easy to just drop one off and have stuff done.
Yeah.
Where before we had to do a little better job in arranging a time and a place.
Yeah.
But right now, what do you know? What did you, excuse me, from the kids?
Yeah, I haven't talked to them lately. But
last
I know
time you
that,
were in?
Yeah. I mean, we were at least a week out.
Out.
Yeah. I know that we had lost another kid that was here, too. He moved back to Colorado. So, yeah, it's just hard to find people that want to work.
We lost two techs, and mm-hmm. then we've interviewed four,
mm-hmm.
and we've offered jobs to three, mm-hmm. and one of them has already accepted another job.
Mm-hmm.
And we're waiting on the other two to see if we fit for them
and
they fit for us.
Yeah, I think they might start this week, actually, at least one. But
you know what I'd like to have is a female. We've had female service riders. We don't now.
Yeah.
We have a female operator that runs the whole store, Andy, our daughter.
Mm-hmm.
But in reality, a female technician would be, even if it was a quick lube kind of an environment, oil change, tire rotation, that kind of stuff. If you're a female and you work somewhere else and you want to try something else, we have Monday through Friday.
Yeah.
And you're going to be working for a woman,
mm-hmm.
and she knows how to beat up all the technicians if they get mad, if she gets mad at them.
Andy
I'm teasing.
Doesn't do that.
I know. Anyway, if you also want to look at Mark Salem's best shops in the Valley area, you're welcome to go to marksalem.com, click on best shops, best car repair shops, and then it'll give you a map of all the shops that I stand behind. My promise to you is that if you go there and you have a problem, I'll be involved in the of handling the problem. So the shop and you and I will all work together to get your car taken care of. Now, that the two extremes is, yes, we caused it and he's going to fix it, or no, we didn't cause it and this is unrelated, or something in the middle.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm really proud to tell you that I don't have to deal and put that hat on more than once a year. Out of all the shops that we have,
mm-hmm.
maybe once a year, I'm involved in some kind of a dispute. And
it's never gone to where we've had to write a check out. So they always take care of the problems.
And the shops know that, and they know that. And by the time we get involved, oftentimes the shop already knows that they're not at fault or they are. I remember one time somebody came in and we did fan belts on their car and then the transmission went out.
Mm-hmm.
That's a tough jump to make.
Yeah.
Okay, there's really no relationship because if the fan belts go bad, typically the motor's going to overheat and the car's going to come to a stop, but it's not going to take the transmission out. In this particular case, the belts were still intact. It was just that coincidentally they had just been changed and the transmission failed.
Mm-hmm.
One had nothing to do with the other.
Yeah.
It was pretty simple. Then we decided to monitor the transaction, and they did take the car to a place that he wanted to go. And that he accepted to go, and the shop themselves said there is no tie the transmission failed because of mileage, this band broke, and this happened, and that happened, and this is the symptoms that occurred before the transmission quit working.
Yeah.
I thought that was kind of cool.
Yeah.
And so at that particular point, everybody kind of knew, including the customer, knew that this was unrelated.
Yeah.
This only happens once a year.
Yeah.
If that meant.
If that, yeah. If that meant. I agree with that. So
you can go to marksalem.com and look at our shops. We also have some FAQs there. The FAQs are written about the most popular questions we've had on radio since 1988. I started in the valley. We started at a gas station in Ahwatukee in 1979, Renee and I. And then in 1988, I started with another radio station in Phoenix, KTAR.
Mm-hmm.
And then in 2011, I left KTAR and I came to KKNT, the Patriot. And I've been here 11 years.
Mm-hmm.
So the FAQs really cover lots of interesting questions from people. And I wrote the answers to all of them. And there's a lot of good information in there, especially information that when you hear that we need to change all your fluids at 50,000 miles, that's not true. That's not written anywhere. That's somebody's imagination, and that's a sales technique. And there's no meat and potatoes to that. Nobody says that they have to change all your fluids, and changing all the fluids is pretty expensive.
Yeah.
You're talking about multiple thousands of dollars. Help me with this: cooling system,
mm-hmm.
engine oil,
mm-hmm.
brake fluid,
mm-hmm.
transmission oil,
mm-hmm.
differential oil.
Mm-hmm.
Refrigerant, air conditioning to top it off or whatever.
Yeah.
So you've got all of these different fluids. And as far as air conditioning,
brake fluid. Did you say that? I don't know. Maybe you did.
Brake fluid is certainly one of them as
mm-hmm.
well. So those are and then the symptoms on what is wrong with your brake fluid.
Yeah.
We have meters that tell us the moisture content, and there's a pass-fail line on the moisture content. We don't want moisture in your brake fluid. But moisture in the brake fluid is something that happens over a long period of time. Well, we have to watch that. So it's not good enough to just take... I saw a videotape on this not too long ago. The guy sticks his finger in the brake stuff, and he puts it on a mirror.
Mm-hmm.
And he goes, look at that. It's like coffee. Then he takes a brand new brake fluid. He opens it up, puts his finger in it, and he hits it here, and it's like clear.
Right.
So what?
Well, brake fluid's not clear, is it?
Isn't it kind of red? No,
they are.
They are. They can be red. They can be blue. Clear amber.
Mm-hmm.
But that the idea of that brake fluid is hydroscopic, so it attracts moisture, but mm-hmm. it's in a closed system, and there is going to be, as the brake fluid goes from clear to dirty, it's going to go brown to browner to brighter and then dark. If it looks like coffee, you're way past your due.
Yeah.
But if it's just got a light tint to brown to it, I'm not quite sure I'd lose any sleep over that. The next question would be is, Mark, what do you see as far as the repair is concerned when the brake fluid turns to a T-type color? And the answer is nothing. All we do is flush it out and put some new stuff in. Here's the bad news. The solids in your brake fluid settle to the bottom. So when we flush it, we can't possibly flush out all those small particles in all the bends of all the pipes.
Mm-hmm.
So the new stuff is going to come and turn your brake fluid slightly to a T color again.
Color again, okay.
And so it's not really a color issue because it's a moisture content. We have equipment that tests the moisture content of your brake fluid. And if the content's too high, then you need to replace it. If it's not, then you don't need to replace it. Unless, of course, the car manufacturer specifically says in the owner's manual that we want you to change your fluid at 100,000 miles, that's pretty valid.
Mm-hmm.
There's a reason they're saying that, and so we should follow that reason.
Okay.
Anyway, other issues that we see all the time is that the difficult part is when the husband sends the wife down to describe the problem.
Yeah,
it's always
talked about that.
It's difficult.
Yeah,
that's
it
a
is.
Difficult. That's a difficult conversation to have, and inevitably. The shop is going to be really cautious because we don't want to misdiagnose it, but we don't want to hang our hat on something after you spend $600 to fix it, and then you say, well, the problem's still there.
Mm-hmm.
One of the things that we embrace, my industry, the car repair industry embraces, is you taking us for a ride and showing us how to make it happen. Show us that. Now, it is possible that we're not going to want to do that, depending on the circumstances. But what happens so many times is people will take one of our technicians and they'll be gone for 20 minutes to an hour trying to get it to happen. and have the technician feel it happen, hear it happen, see it happen. We can't do that. Mm-hmm. And there's just not too many places that are going to accommodate that kind of thing, especially to a new customer. But if, you know, we have customers that have 2 and 3 digit numbers, and I don't know, we're up at 35,000 customers or mm-hmm. something like that. So the people with 3 digit and 4 digit and 5 digit numbers are probably going to get some portion of our help, but really and truly, you're not going to walk into our shop and many others for the first time and ask us to borrow a technician and take our technician for an hour long ride.
No,
that's going to be something that's going to be difficult.
Yeah, just wait till it gets worse, like we talked about, and
easier to find.
Yeah, and then
if you can demonstrate it, that's what's really good. Minutes. If I make a hard turn right, and then I come to an abrupt stop, there's a clunk. Can you make it happen right now? Yes, I can. I've been practicing for 2 weeks. I can make it happen. Oh, man, I want to hop the counter and hug them. I don't care if it's a guy or a girl. I want to hug them. They can make it happen. Okay. Yeah. Then I'm going to sit in the car, and this happened not too long ago. I'm sitting in the car, and they do this, turn right, and then hammer the brakes kind of hard. And the noise is on the passenger side because that's where I'm sitting.
Mm-hmm.
I'm watching them. So then we switch places, and they teach me how to do it. And when there's the clunk, they say, oh, yeah, it's worse over here. I've always been over here.
Yes.
So in the short drive, we identified the problems. And it's a suspension shift on the right front. And in this case, it happened to be lower control arms on a pickup truck.
Mm.
So okay. When we got it up in the air, we could see that the bushings were starting to bulge and to go bad. Mm-hmm. But we didn't put that together because we didn't know there was a clunk after you make a right and then you have an abrupt stop.
Gotcha.
So those were the circumstances that would do it. Okay. Anyway, what you don't want to do, you always want to pay with a credit card, no matter if you're at our shop or anybody else's shop, because if there's a problem, you can always stop payment on the credit card. That works both ways. A lot of the companies will get involved in trying to bring a dispute resolution to the table. But there is also a possibility that your insurance company is going to look at the facts and or your credit card company is going to look at the facts and say, no, you need to pay this. Mm-hmm. So, but that's why I say pay with a credit card. You're better served by paying with a credit card, and hopefully you get the points. My email address is mark@marksalem.com. mark@marksalem.com. Mark is with a K, and Salem is like the cigarette. And I answer you, and sometimes I call from a blocked line, so if you get that, then it's probably me.